Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why.
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Ahoy, ahoy. Happy 5th of July to you out there. I am Jason Saganik, Big Soup. As you can tell, no Isaac Rop. I'm piloting the SS Primetime today, but with me is my first mate, Ryan Buckley, the only two full-time employees actually working today, and I think I speak for both of us, Buckley, when I say it is an honor and a privilege to be the only two effing people in this building right now.
Some honor and privilege might not be the two words that I would use, but something of that variety.
What are we doing? Like, I had at least five people today be like, huh? What? You're working? I had a buddy called me and was like, hey, you want to ride out to Vancouver Lake? This is like noon. I'm like, well, no. It's like too hot? I'm like, no, I got to work. He's like, huh? No one believes we ever actually work. Which is, you know, partially true, but on days where everyone thinks we're off, then we actually have to work.
Yeah, I dropped my littlest one off at the grandparents' house, and then I mentioned that I was coming in here. They're like, oh, you have to work. And I'm like, that's why I'm dropping them off. Yeah. Like, I mean, but they, again, even expecting to babysit, they didn't think that I was going to have work.
Yeah, the BTJ is down in Ashland, and she, same thing. She texted me, what are you doing today? Working. Everyone, huh? Like, no one's working. There is zero commerce going on. Traffic still sucks, and yet here we are. And I think we put the odds. We had a DraftKings odds going.
Yeah.
So Isaac Rop, in case you couldn't tell, not here. Supposed to be here, not here. Was planning to be here, not here. Thought he was going to be here.
Isachi.
Not here. So I believe we put the odds. Were we going 60-40?
I think it was, it started out as 70-30, and then I thought it moved to like 65-35 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, that he was going to be here. And so sitting around at a nice little 4th of July, very low key, did a little rodeo. Guy sat on a horse for a little while and then some food with the kiddos.
Now, did you go to a Washington rodeo? Did you go to the St. Paul rodeo? Did you go to a different, the Molalla Buckaroo?
It's the Buckaroo, my friend.
Okay, nice.
Normally, we do the St. Paul, but this year, I think it was a controversial move.
Ooh.
The station, you know, we've done the St. Paul rodeo for years and years and years.
Yeah, you and the Fan Man have hosted shows out there.
Yeah, and I don't think since COVID, though. You know, COVID was weird times for everybody. And we got a...
I loved COVID.
I'm just saying. Apparently he does. We'll get to more of that in a minute. So we got an email. It's normally we get an email like, hey, anyone want to go to the, you know, the rodeo? My kids always like to go. And the special lady friend was out of town. So I was like, yeah, we can go to the rodeo. But the email came in and it was like, hey, if you want tickets to the Molalla Buckaroo. I was like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were a St. Paul station. Turns out this year... some sort of weird, you know, like controversial decision, we buckarooed.
A big shift.
Yeah, and let me just say for the record, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I bet.
There's, yeah. Outside of the little Arborvita, it's the same thing. You know, it's...
I mean, and that's kind of the nice thing about rodeo, though, right? I mean, a rodeo's a rodeo anywhere you go, pretty much.
It's a rodeo. They say the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
They do Lee Greenwood plays.
Yep.
Toby Keith. A lot of boots. A lot of yee-haw, yee-hoo-hoo. And then, again, guy sits on a horse and or a bull for a little while. It's great American fun.
I do think that, remember our friend, the Bull Party Bus, who took out that lady? I think Lee Greenwood's Proud to Be American was playing while that was going on.
Oh, my God. If that was the, if you don't know what we're talking about, Party Bus, where was that rodeo at?
I thought it was somewhere in Oregon. Was it in Bend or Pendleton or something like that?
I think it was down in Sisters.
Oh, maybe it was Sisters. I think you're right.
Sisters. Yeah, they got a big rodeo. They love the rodeo down in Central Oregon. Yeah, some bull jumped.
Jumped the fence?
Jumped the fence.
And then made it out on the concourse somehow
just started taking
people out. Absolutely hammered some lady.
While Lee Greenwood is playing. In fact, I think the only time that Lee Greenwood plays is during Trump Bible commercials and rodeos. Well, in the fireworks, although the fireworks and that kind of go hand in hand.
Sure.
So we get back to the house, and I was cooking, and I get the text message from one Isaac Rob, and I was like, oh boy, the moment it popped up, Asachi. I was like, what? All right, what are we doing?
Maybe it's you just, mean you weren't thinking it was show prep on the morning of July 4th?
No, I knew for a fact that it was not going to be show prep. So I thought one of two things, actually one of three things. He's just wishing me a happy 4th of July. It's a real possibility. Sometimes he does that. Letting me know, hey, you know, back in town, be there at work tomorrow. Glad to see you. Didn't think that one. Or the dreaded, because it was July 4th, so I thought the text would come in tomorrow.
Sure.
Of, hey, flight's delayed. Nothing I can do. No. Got this one. Hey, kid, because he went to Vegas with his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kid tested positive for COVID. Feel a little tickle in my throat.
Mm.
Don't know about tomorrow. And at that moment, I texted one Ryan Buckley and was like, yeah, he's gone.
Oh, I'm hurt.
At that point, the odds went from, like, it was over. It was Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas. Your kid had COVID and you're dropping I feel a little something, but, you know, I might be able to be fine. No. Like an hour later, the text comes in. Yeah, I got COVID. I'm not kidding. I believe this is the third time he's been to Vegas. I think it's the fourth COVID. I think this is the third time he's gone to Vegas and caught COVID. Three.
If you could only gamble on that kind of luck, you know?
It's unbelievable. Is he just licking doorknobs down in Las Vegas? Now, I get that Las Vegas is dirty.
Yeah.
But you know what's dirtier? I go to New Orleans all the time. New Orleans is way dirtier than Vegas.
I feel like maybe it's just being inside with all the circulated air, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. He must just be licking, like sucking on poker chips.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
It's incredible. I've never seen someone, because when you travel, a lot of times your body can get worn down and you get the sniffles or whatever. But COVID? I didn't even know COVID was still a thing.
I loved COVID.
I'm just saying.
That's why he gets it so much. He loves it so much.
It's, I don't know. Like, and then I was telling some people, they're like, hey, you guys working? I was like, well, I'm working. Rob's got COVID. They're like, no. Seriously? No one believes it.
And I
know he does have COVID.
Here's the scary thing. Lying,
but it's kind of, it's like if you won the lottery and then you won it again, you're like, dude, you didn't. And then you won it a third time, like some scratches. You're like, dude, you're just making stuff up now.
Well, I mean, if you think about the timing of it, too, it could put us through the hoop on Monday as well. Because if he doesn't actually have it yet, but it's just coming on, and then tomorrow is really when it hits, We might not see Rop on Monday. We might not see him on Tuesday.
He did this once where he took the week vacation and then there was like a 9-day sick. It's kind of impressive.
I'm
not even mad anymore. Where's Dan Lanning? Because as Dan Lanning famously once said on this program, and we will talk about Oregon Ducks today. We got the big news out of Duckland. Dan Lanning did say that getting sick is a choice. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, and who am I to not believe one Dan Lanning? Rot makes the choice every time to be sick.
If the option's there, he takes the sick.
Yeah. Like, if there's a fork in the road, Rob's like, I'm going to take this left at Albuquerque right here. Or in this case, I'm going to take a left in Nevada and then lick a stripper's $1 bill and catch COVID. I kind of like, I'm just, one of these days, this will end the show. Can you still die of COVID? Is that a thing?
Probably.
Well, then he should be careful. Because at this point, he's got super COVID. I have never met anyone that has more COVID than him.
Or at least more times. I mean, so
he's
I wonder if it gets worse or if it gets better each time.
Well, the first time almost
killed him, right?
Yeah, it was bad. Like, he went down. And then and by the way, he blames me for giving him COVID.
Of course.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. That's horse news. By the way, I'd like to point out my COVID lasted like 8 minutes and then I was fine. Rob's COVID lasted like 2 weeks and about killed him. And I'm not sure I'm not sure if that was the second or if that was the third COVID. I think this is number four. I think this is four officially COVID. He needs to rebrand. It's no longer Isachi. He's Isaac COVID Rop.
Yeah, Isachi 19 is what he is.
I like that. There you go. Isachi 19. And I think he's opening like a pop-up shop down in Vegas where you go to Vegas and you get COVID.
The Isaac Rop, the Isachi Recovery Center from COVID?
Yes. So like if you have, let's say you have like a wedding coming up and you don't want to go to it, or, you know, you got some, you got like a big school event, or you got like something at work, you know, you just go to Vegas, you go to the pop-up shop, and then like Rop just spits in your mouth. And you get your COVID, and then you come back, and they're like, I don't know what to tell you, boss. And like when you go there, they give you a COVID test that's already like pre-filled out.
Yeah.
The line is just drawn in, the little pink lines. Like, nope, yeah, here it is. Whether you get it from us or not, here, you've got COVID. I don't know what we were thinking putting the odds at 65.
It should have at least been a coin flip.
At least.
But we are getting some feedback on the Vancouver 4 text line. Someone says that I ran into Rop in Vegas in October, and let me tell you, based on his nonchalant actions at the Wynn hot tub, it is no surprise. I don't know what that means, but I'd like more detail.
I don't know.
Also, our listener, the UPS driver, in says he's definitely working worse than the day after Thanksgiving.
Really?
I had no idea.
Oh, that stinks. That stinks.
I wonder if it's just because of the heat or if there's really that much more action.
I don't know. It is hot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what that... Well, the official term, I can't say on the air, but it's hot as balls. I was riding my bike today, and I was going...
Did you do it early at least?
Yeah, I tried to get out early before it hit, but I walked really early because the big fella, I had to walk the dog. And so on these days, we get up at like 5:30 or 6 to get out, because by the time it hits like 7:30, he just looks at you. He's like, yeah, we're not doing this. Already on the way back, he stopped like 7 times.
Hey man, get me back there.
Yeah, he's like, where's some shade, old man? We're not doing it. I'm like, but it's like 7:15. It's not that hot out. And he's like, to hell it isn't. Like, look at this thing I'm wearing. Screw you. But I was going up, so this is like maybe 10 o'clock. I was going up a hill and it had been freshly paved.
Okay.
So you had like that nice layer of tar.
Love that.
Dude, I had either the best contact high I've ever had or I about passed out. But like I'm riding up this hill and I was like, you know, you're riding uphill. It's like you're kind of wheezing a little bit. You're trying to keep spinning the pedals, and that damn tar with the heat, I had like those heat waves coming out of it. That thing was kicking my ass. So I'm not certain if that was a great hill or if it was a bad hill, but I definitely felt lightheaded when I got to the top.
And so I guess was the high a good or bad?
I don't know. Hmm. It was mildly concerned. I was like, I should probably get off this road, but at the same time, like, this feels kind of cool. But it's like you don't want to pass out. That freshly paved road, that is that's a whole smell. Right.
Oh yeah,
there.
That's one of my favorite stumble upon in life smells. You know, that you just or when it's unanticipated and you get it and you're like, ooh, that's nice.
Yeah,
I like that.
And the garbage man, they're out there today.
Yep.
I saw they don't get the day off. Said the trash boys or trash boys out there slinging it. I saw them today out there. So there's some people, but for the most part, I think a lot of people either have the day off or are essentially taking the day off.
And I think especially because obviously 4th of July is one of those holidays that moves around. It's never on the same day of the week, or it rarely is on the same day of the week. But I feel like a lot of companies, when it lands on the Thursday, they don't expect anything on the Friday.
No, which is why I understand that it is the 4th of July, but when it falls on a Thursday, can't we just kind of
What I think.
Can't we just, you know, all collectively be like, yes. It's like when your birthday falls on a Thursday, you don't celebrate it on Thursday.
No, no.
You move it to a Friday.
That's right.
We just need to kind of bump that sucker. Just move that up to the 5th, and we're good to go.
And then when it lands on a Wednesday, we just kind of take Thursday and Friday.
I like where we're going with that. And yes, this is a going to. It's hot as the devil's taint. And by the way, it's getting hotter. So just like the next 5 days, it's going to be warm. And but with the animals, seriously, don't walk your dog in the middle of the day.
No.
Just don't. That's like...
Extra water.
Yeah. If you think that you want to walk your dog, by the way, you have to then put on your heaviest winter coat and you have to walk barefoot. Do that and see how...
Not pleasant.
You enjoy it. Yeah, I was, like I said, I was riding today in the middle of the heat and I saw people out with their dogs. It's like, what the hell are you doing, jackasses?
Yeah, that's not a good plan.
And as someone else points out, you would think Rop would have the ultimate COVID immunity.
Yeah, I saw that one too. It's like his immune system should be improving based off of all this COVID.
Well, he's had multiple vaccinations, and he's had it at least 4 times that we know of. You would think at this point he would be immune. And so it's impossible, like that whole immunity thing, that's just right out. Like there's no go.
Or he has like an immunity disorder or like his, or something.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing.
Well, I like the comment that says COVID rubs its hands, seeing Rop walk in the room.
Yeah. It's just that meme, but the guy behind the tree.
Yeah.
And that yellow jacket here it comes. Because again, his wife doesn't have it. He, though, he's got it.
So then what happens in that scenario? Does he just go to a basement or another room or something?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. Again, I'm a total rube. I didn't know COVID was still...
Well, people are saying that apparently it's cropping up again and that they know a lot of people who have gotten it recently, and apparently there may be a new strain. So, you know.
So I should be concerned?
Mm.
FedEx driver here, boys, out doing 200 stops on a freshly broken toe.
Pedal foot or not? Either way, not good.
Yeah. I would think... Well, at least with the pedal foot, you can lean to the side, but you know you got to be walking those packages. I think at that point, maybe you do the paperboy sort of delivery. You
just hock and chuck.
Yeah, he's kind of just hock to that thing out there.
Spit on that thing.
Give a little throw out there. All right, we got a good show for you today. Andrew Nemec will join us at 3:30. Talk a little Oregon Duck recruiting. Joey Harrington at 5:30 for his normal 2 segments. We'll ask Joey about if he's had COVID 17 times, a la Rop. but we got to look in, and then, you know, look, let's be honest. It's the 5th of July. There's not a ton going on in the world of sports.
No.
But we'll paint the corners.
That's exactly right.
We'll give you some off-speed stuff, throw some breaking balls, talk a little NFL, we'll talk a little college football. I got some soccer stuff. I got some Wimbledon.
Soccer stuff?
Yeah,
Wimbledon
stuff. Yeah, we're going to...
Boy, digging deep.
Yeah, we'll paint some edges. You know, we'll talk maybe some 4th of July. Hopefully everyone out there, 10 fingers, 10 toes. You've got a Sook and Buck edition of Primetime right here on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Noah Sasha here. Just soak and buck. That's the other thing, too. As I continue to rant on Rob's 90-year-old cancer patient immune system. If Biden had Rob's immune system, he'd drop out of the race by now. He'd be done. They'd be like, ah, it's...
no chance.
Can't do it. Nope, no, sorry, no, we're bowing out. He always stays at the Wynn. He insists on staying at the Wynn because it's the nicest hotel in Vegas, and he refuses to rub elbows with the common folk. Maybe try the Circus next time, because whatever the hell's going on at the Wynn, they ain't cleaning ass. It's supposed to be like this nice high-end hotel. Why is he getting the Andromeda strain? Why is he getting cat AIDS every time he goes down?
Maybe because all the nice clientele that stays there is doing all the highfalutin traveling around, so they're the biggest carriers. That would be my only guess.
Try the Tropicana. You know, Will went down. He stayed at the Hooters.
That's right.
Will didn't get it.
Nope.
Will came back with a free Hooters hat and no COVID. Rob went down to the Wynn, lost a bunch of money, and came back with the vid again. I think we're on to something here. I don't know if it's necessarily Vegas. I think it's the Wynn. I'm not certain. Like, I can't make any wild accusations, but hey, if everyone's into conspiracy theories, follow me on this. You go to the Wynn, you may catch COVID for like the 17th time. Maybe.
Yeah.
Although the Wynn's quite nice.
That's the thing. It doesn't stand to reason that it would have worked this way, but here we are.
I went to the Wynn right at in the midst of COVID, right when they opened back up. Didn't get it. Had a great time. All right, today's AAA Heating and Cooling poll question. Considering Oregon's recent recruiting success, how soon do you expect it to result in a national championship? I got 1 to 3 years, 3 to 5, 5+ years, or never, no natty for you. Log on to Twitter or X. I still refuse to call it X.
I do too. I don't
call it
X.
That's the dumbest rebrand.
Plus, you can't say I X'd, like when you tweeted.
No, I went to X'd. It's just... it's silly, right? It's absurd. So go to Twitter. You type in Twitter, still works, and and cast your vote. AAA Heating and Cooling poll question: a family company helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. Yeah, because I saw it again over the weekend. Oregon, and at this point, it's kind of getting silly. I feel like every other day, I see one of those little duck, landings tweeting out the little duck.
Yep.
You know, I love the coaches now have, codes. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey.
This means we did something cool.
This means we did something. We can't talk about it, but it's a big deal. So they got this, is it DeCorian? DeCorian Moore. He is the number one receiver in 2025, so he's going into his senior year. Mm-hmm. And depending on who you talk to, this is either the biggest or the second biggest recruit in the history of Oregon's program, because some people are going to say Thibodeau based on the rankings.
Sure.
We'll ask Nemec coming up. We'll talk to him in 10, 15 minutes. But it's a big deal. He's the number 3 overall recruit in the 2025 ESPN 300. And you know, he initially committed to LSU, and you look at the programs that they're up against. It is the LSUs, it's the Texas, it's the Georgias of the world.
Yeah, I think he, after decommitting from LSU, he picked the Ducks over Texas and Ohio State, which obviously going to be one of their big rivals now.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you just look at what, and by the way, they already had landed the number six wide receiver in the 2025 class. They got the number nine pocket passer, and that's Akili Smith Jr. They got the number five athlete in Dorian Brew. They got the number seven athlete in the country, as well as one of the best linebackers. I think he's like the 10th outside linebacker in Nasir Wyatt. So it's like, when you look at the at what they're doing on the recruiting trail, and it can't just be all NIL.
No,
it just isn't.
It obviously, that's a big part of it, but all those other big boys who you're beating out consistently now, or not consistently, but the schools that you're up against for these kids, the Texases, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, they can all offer the same thing financially you can, so you have to be selling something different, and whatever that is, it's working.
Yeah, I don't, and again, there's a long way to go here, and I have been pretty vocal on the show about saying that Oregon has won nothing. To me, that coaching staff, and I like the coaching staff. I think Dan Lanning, he comes on the show. Rop's got a bit of a man crush on him, even though I think Lanning's disgusted with Rop's choice to be sick again. Don't worry. Next time he's on the program, we'll bring it up. 5th of July, Vegas trip, COVID.
It's over your head!
Lanning's not putting up with that crap.
I wouldn't think so.
So, and I'm the first one to say, they've not won anything. I mean, they don't really have a marquee win in his short time here. I mean, if you want to say Oregon State, but is that really a marquee win over a Beaver team that basically folded up their tent and went home because they knew Jonathan Smith was leaving? So there is a long way to go. And this year, the expectations are sky high. Depending on who you talk to, this is the number two or number three or number four team in the country. But it's not a top five team. It is a minimum top four. I've yet to see anyone that thinks that they are anything worse than the fourth best team in the country.
And I think that for fans and people who are not fans of the program alike, that's still a really hard thing to digest because you haven't played like the fourth best team in the country yet under Dan Lanning.
No.
Doesn't mean you can't. Doesn't mean the personnel might warrant that and give you the type of season that puts you in that position. But I think the reason that there's almost pushback on it, or it's hard to believe, is because we haven't actually seen it yet. Not in this era under this regime.
No, and there were times last year, like after the Washington game, Oregon looked... they were a scary team. You know, that was one of those where everyone in the country, national pundits, were like, hey, the one team I don't want to see in the playoff is Oregon. No one wanted them. And then they played Washington again, and everyone thought that they were going to roll Washington. And what happened? They got them again.
Again. Three times now.
So, you know, there is, to me, a lot to prove. But when you recruit like this, it's hard not to win a lot of games. And people say, well, Oregon's been recruiting like this for years. No, they haven't. Oregon really under you know, towards the end of Bilotti and then during the Chip Kelly era, they started to string together some nice classes. But remember, those teams that played for the national title, those teams recruited in the teens. Like they were not a top 10.
They
recruiter.
Were overachievers then. They weren't achieving with the talent that they had.
No,
they were
Dave Bartu said it. The only two teams that have played for a national title outside of the kind of the recruiting profile, like the truly elites, is TCU and Oregon. Like, and I'm not saying TCU and Oregon are the same. Far from it.
But just as far as the results being far beyond what your actual personnel says you should be able to do.
But what they're doing now is they are recruiting at a level that we've never seen before. And I think that gets a lot of people excited. Because normally when you see these sorts of results, you know, it leads to big things. And Oregon feels like they've been knocking on that doorstep for a while. And is this the thing that finally kind of pushes them over the hump? Or is this a year where Ohio State gets you, Michigan gets you, and everyone starts asking the question, hey, man, what the hell? Even though you're 2 years in, like you're just starting to kind of ride this wave of momentum.
But it does feel like the hype train has already exceeded the product.
Well, and you would think, I mean, let's say Oregon just has the same year they had last year. They lose to, you know, whoever. They lose to someone twice, right? They lose to Ohio State and they lose to, you know, I guess you play the same two teams again, like in the Big Ten title. So let's say you lose to Ohio State and then you lose to Ohio State again, right? Same thing you did with Washington.
Sure.
You're still in the playoff.
Right.
This Oregon team last year under this current system would get into the playoff. So, again, the hype train, Oregon is going to make the playoff this year. Mm-hmm. I'd be very surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it may come down to one of those things, again, where health is absolutely crucial. We talked about it a little bit in our NFL talks on Wednesday about there is an element where you just have to have the guys healthy to be able to compete at the end of the season, and if you don't, you could be kind of hooped. But Oregon is building the roster and the depth. There is no excuse for them not to be there.
So when we come back, we'll talk to our recruiting expert, Andrew Nemec. We'll ask him, how is Oregon doing this? Is it just NIL? What is this coaching staff doing? What are the expectations? And where is this class going? Where is the momentum here? And what does he think as far as putting these kids on the field and seeing the success? We'll talk a little recruiting coming up next with Andrew Nemec right here, 1080 The Fan. Talking a little recruiting, talking a little college football, specifically the Oregon Ducks. And who better to talk about that than a man who wears many hats? You might know him from such things as Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. He is the director of recruiting at Sportsbook Live, and he's a man that enjoys man buns and Hey Dude shoes. Andrew Nemec, happy 5th of July, my friend.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. I don't have COVID.
I love the intro. That's pretty sweet.
Well, I mean, all of those things are 100% true, are they not?
Yeah, I'm kind of transitioning from Hey Dudes to Crocs. The Crocs are pretty comfortable, man.
You tried to butch it up a little bit with the Crocs? The Hey Dudes weren't working for you anymore?
I drive a Subaru. I'm wearing Crocs. I have a bun, like a man bun. I am transitioning to full-on lesbian.
Home Depot style. All right, well, you know, normally
that happens. I was just at Home Depot.
Yeah. Buying some lumber? You building a deck?
No, we were looking for a new door. Front door.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. Don't try to do that by yourself. I had a door mishap, an interior door. You know, someone may or may not have punched their way through it. I thought replacing a door was quite simple. Wrong. Dude, that thing sucks. That absolutely, just FYI, absolutely sucks, especially if you have a little bit of an older home. Because they'll tell you, like, oh, it's a 30-inch opening. No, it's not. It's like a 29.5-inch opening. And you think, like, shaving, like, a quarter to a half an inch off a door, easy? No. And the little, like, the door handle lining up, yeah, that doesn't work either. That thing is I'm just telling you right now, hire someone. Because that thing sucks.
Okay. Done and done.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this. Give me the lowdown here on DeCorian Moore. Is this bigger, or is this on the same level as Thibodeau, or is this the biggest that Oregon's ever had?
Well, he's rated in the composite. So 24/7 Sports does a composite rating, and that averages a recruit's ranking out across ESPN, Rivals, 24/7, and On3. DeCorian Moore is the highest rated commitment in the history of the program. Just barely eclipsing Kayvon Thibodeau. But when you look on the whole here in terms of what this means, Kayvon was kind of, in his own way, a little bit of a one-off. Yes, Oregon was getting a five-star recruit here and there. Their record came in the class of 2020. They got 3 5-star kids. None of them was like a top 10 kid. They get that kind of 10 to 30 guy. Yeah. And it's a great player. You're still getting 5-star recruits. It's rare that Oregon's gotten a top 5 player in the country. Haloti Ngata stands out. Kayvon Thibodeau stands out. And now DeCorian Moore. What makes this special is what Oregon's doing across the board. They got Dorian Brew, a 5-star corner. He lives in Texas. So they beat out the Texas schools, but the big deal is he's from Ohio, and he always dreamed of playing for Ohio State, and Ohio State wanted him bad, and now they've got him in the fold. Dallas Wilson from Tampa Bay Tech is a 5-star wide receiver, again, out of Florida. They bring him in. They already have 3 composite 5-star guys. Just last week, they got Jordan Davison. Rivals rates him as a 5-star running back. And they are still firmly in the mix for 4 and 5 other 5-star recruits. So this could be one of those years where we look, and if they can hang on to everybody, that they push for the number one recruiting class in America. That's really, really rarefied air.
Yeah, because everyone always, you know, whenever we talk about this, you know, I get the, well, Oregon's been recruiting like this, and they always recruit well. But keep putting context, like, when did recruiting for Oregon start to kind of kick into high gear? Was it like end of Bilotti, beginning of Chip, and what's the difference between like what they were doing then versus what's happening over here the last couple years?
Yeah, I think there's a general lack of understanding, frankly, of how Oregon's recruited. Oregon had one top 10 class ever, even through the Chip Kelly years. And that top 10 class produced DeAnthony Thomas, Marcus Mariota, I believe DeForest Buckner or Eric Armstead, maybe both.
Pretty good.
So when you get a top 10 class and it hits, look out. It can change your program. What we're seeing now is different, and it was for a while. Like I don't know if I was overstating, but they were finishing sixth, seventh in the nation, and that was incredible. One year they were sitting fourth, and I remember doing Dirt and Sprague show, and they said, "Well, how close are they to one? How close are they really when you're at four?" And I said, "The gap between four and one and two is massive." And at the time, the gap was so big that if you'd have given Oregon the number one and number two player in America, they still wouldn't have climbed up into the top two. The top two is often reserved for those programs that get 7 5-star recruits in one class. They get 6 5-star recruits in one class. Oregon has only gotten half of that as a record, three. They already have three. And again, this is a year where they really truly are pushing. And if you set the over-under at 4.5 five-star recruits in this class right now, I think I would take the over. And that's just mind-boggling. That's Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. That's who can do that. And you look at the recruiting rankings right now for the country, when you look at On3 kind of does a project forward. You get credit for guys that are leaning your way, partial credit. You get full credit for any commitments. That's the top four right now. It's Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, Georgia. And for the last few weeks on my recruiting show, I've been saying Oregon has entered that territory, that top tier where they want your guy. They're going to make a real run if they offer, and they're potentially going to flip him. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been recruiting him. If Oregon wants him, they're like Bama, they're like Georgia, they're like Ohio State.
All right. So, you know, everyone's going to throw NIL out there and be like, "Oh, they're just buying kids." But can we all grow up here a little bit and act like, you know, again, fairly smart individuals? Some of those kids that were coming before NIL weren't coming for free, just like they weren't going to free to Ohio State. So this recent run here, how much of this is NIL? How much of this is Dan Lanning? What is the, or is it, you know, four or five different things kind of, you know, Voltroning this into coming to one big superpower? But why all of a sudden has this kind of shifted into the next gear?
I think there are two leading prongs here. One is NIL. I know that there were numbers leaked of NIL budgets, and Oregon was sitting 15th or something like that. Those are wrong. they're just wrong. And On3 has come out and said, "These are not our numbers. This was made up. This was a fake kind of meme that got going." Oregon's in the top three.
Okay.
Oregon is a big time bully in NIL. The other piece, and you know, what separates Lanning, say, from Mario? Mario got those big time recruits, but kind of look at what ended up happening with them.
Yeah, it kind of all fizzled out.
Justin Flo kind of fizzled out. Noah Sewell was a really good player, really all the way through, but definitely was never considered a first-round pick, and Oregon fans can get mad if they want. Sorry, he never was in real life. That was nonsense stuff. Dante Manning was a 5-star recruit. He's fine. The difference here is that Oregon, via an SEC system, via a proven coaching tree that churns out NFL talent, is starting to churn out guys, not just high school kids, but also transfers. Come to Oregon and we will turn you into something special. People can say whatever they want about Christian Gonzalez. He ended up turning into a first-round pick. And you can say, well, they inherited him. He was already going to be a second-rounder. The rehabilitation of Bo Nix stock, they deserve credit for that. He became a bona fide first-round pick. In this year's draft, they set a school record for, I think, 8 players drafted. And they're still predicted to be a top 3, 4, 5 team in America across every poll. That's the difference. They have the NIL money. They have an SEC proven system that not only wins, but turns out NFL talent. And they're saying, come here. We will turn you into an NFL talent. It could be money now, but also we've got great coaching and it will be money later. And that is really resonating.
Is do you still, because like under Mario, and there's a lot of coaches that have this, I think Dabo has this a little bit now that he's lost coordinators. It's the idea of, yeah, you can recruit, but can you coach? Have we seen enough from this staff and Dan Lanning that this isn't just recruiting, that there's the chops to back it up? Because the one criticism, although it's only been 2 years, is they don't really have a big signature win.
Yeah, I argued that the very best thing for Oregon that could have possibly happened is they played Liberty in a Fiesta Bowl. Bo Nix, instead of opting out, maybe potentially if they played at Georgia, who just got left out. Dan Lanning can kind of argue backdoor, like, hey, I got a signature win, we won a Fiesta Bowl. And it kind of erases that question, at least on paper. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think there's still something to be, you know, there's still something left to be said for, can he get Oregon over the hump? They do seem like, schematically, they are much more disciplined. And I know you go back in some of those Helfrich years, even some of the Mario years, I would watch plays and be like, I don't know what coverage they're in. I don't know what play they're running. And I'm not sure if they do all the time. You know, false starts to start a game or coming out of the half, timeouts on the first play of a drive. We're not seeing that anymore. And at the very least, you have to say this Oregon team is very well prepared. They're very buttoned up. And even when you see them running in backups, they're not racking up penalties. They're not having stupid disciplinary penalties. All those things speak to a pretty well-run machine. Does he still need to have a signature win? I think absolutely. But I also think there are some really good signs on the periphery that say Oregon's in pretty good hands from an X's and O's standpoint and from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, I want to, and I know we're up against it, but I did want to kind of get into this a bit, because you mentioned, you know, the NIL and the rumors, and, oh, it's 15, but, you know, this is top three. And I don't know how much you can get into it, but just in general, like, what is a, let's go, what is a top five NIL budget? And is it merely just money? Because now you're hearing about, like, total compensation packages. Can Oregon, through Nike, is there some, I guess, is there some unique things that Oregon can offer that other schools can't?
Sure. I mean, within the rules, I think everyone can offer whatever they have at their disposal.
Yeah.
But it certainly doesn't hurt that Oregon has a Nike connection. I just think it's way oversimplifying things to say, well, like, thank God Oregon's got the Nike connection or they'd be done. I think the budget's probably like a top three budget. Maybe you don't spend it all, maybe you don't need to, but having the ability to access up to $20 million.
Yeah.
And then when we talk about how that all plays out, this matched my reporting, so I feel very comfortable saying this. On3 did an anonymous survey with recruits asking 4-star and 5-star guys how much they made. The average was between $80,000 and $120,000 per year.
Sure.
So if you're the number 180 recruit in the country, you're probably going to get something like a 4-year deal for $100,000 per.
Okay.
So you're probably clearing $400,000. If you're a left tackle and you're the number 15 player in the country, you're probably getting $1 to $1.3 million. If you're an elite quarterback, we've already seen these numbers leak. And I got called a liar when I said, there are some, I don't think they're right, but there are some that are up to 10 figure deals where guys are getting $10 million, $11 million, $12 million. And then we saw Jane Rashada's deal come out. That's not a lump sum. It's like $3 million over 4 years. Those are starting to go away. But we are still seeing big-time recruits, 5-star recruits, are getting deals over $1 million per year to end up at big-time schools.
Yeah. And then is there, you know, like the, you know, you see it in the recruiting and they do the throne room and the shoes and all that. Is there still like a kind of a sexy factor to that? Yes, money talks, but I'm assuming that when you're dealing with a lot of these schools, you were all in the same kind of category with the budget. So is it the, you have the money to be on par with those. And then is the sizzle of the brand, is that what's pushing these kids over the top?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just it, Suk. I think that hits the nail on the head. You have to have a certain kind of amount to play with to make the top four. And then I do think it does come down to relationship. People are like, relationships don't matter at all. Yeah, they do. Because the difference between Oregon and Texas may be pretty small in terms of NIL. But, you know, DeCorian Moore was interviewed and asked what the difference was for him, and he said he wanted to get away and blaze his own path, and he wanted to go to a coaching staff that everybody he met he trusted. And he said he ended up feeling like he really trusted Oregon. I think Oregon staff is generally and across the board pretty likable. They're pretty likable dudes. In my interactions with them, they've been really likable dudes, like genuine, just people, good dudes, guys you'd want to have a beer with. I think that helps. Yes, there's the flash. Yes, there's the Marcus Mariota Heisman. Yes, they can pitch the NFL, you know, draft picks in recent years. I think it's all of those things. So Oregon has the money to say we can compete with anybody on that side. And right now they're building the type of infrastructure that they say, and we can win with anybody. And you throw all of that together, and it makes a recipe for a pretty special group. And that's why Oregon's right now in the discussion for having the number one class in America.
You think this is sustainable? You think this is a team that in, let's go, 5 years can win a national championship?
At the rate they're going, yes. The big caveat, as we've seen with Oregon for now multiple, you know, iterations of coaching tenures, can they keep Dan Lanning? I do believe Dan Lanning has enough clout that if they lose an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, he can replace them pretty well without major issues. Can they keep Dan Lanning? By all accounts, it looks like he does want to stay, that he really likes Oregon, that not having to fight through an SEC schedule and fight through SEC recruiting for the West Coast when USC and Washington just aren't even close to the same level in recruiting as Florida, Florida State, Miami, you know, LSU, Georgia, all the schools that are down there. He's pretty comfortable at Oregon in terms of, you know, he can really kind of bump his elbows out and I've got room here to work. I kind of got the West Coast to myself as the big bad bully. As long as he stays, yeah, I think Oregon can potentially win a national title. I do not think it's crazy to think in the next 5 years, anything other than a national title, certainly in Eugene, would be a disappointment.
He is the director of recruiting for Sportsbook Live. You can find.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Talking a little recruiting, talking a little college football, specifically the Oregon Ducks. And who better to talk about that than a man who wears many hats? You might know him from such things as Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. He is the director of recruiting at Sportsbook Live, and he's a man that enjoys man buns and Hey Dude shoes. Andrew Nemec, happy 5th of July, my friend.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. I don't have COVID.
I love the intro. That's pretty sweet.
Well, I mean, it all of those things are 100% true, are they not?
Yeah, I'm kind of transitioning from Hey Dudes to Crocs. The Crocs are pretty comfortable, man.
You tried to butch it up a little bit with the Crocs? The Hey Dudes weren't working for you anymore?
I drive a Subaru. I'm wearing Crocs. I have a bun, like a man bun. I am transitioning to full-on lesbian.
Home Depot style. All right, well, you know, normally
I was just at Home Depot. I was just at Home Depot.
Yeah. Buying some lumber? You building a deck?
No, we were looking for a new door, front door.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. Don't try to do that by yourself. I had a door mishap, an interior door. You know, someone may or may not have punched their way through it. I thought replacing a door was quite simple. Wrong. Dude, that thing sucks. That absolutely, just FYI, absolutely sucks, especially if you have a little bit of an older home, because they'll tell you like, oh, it's a 30-inch opening. No, it's not. It's like a 29.5-inch opening. And you think like shaving like a quarter to a half an inch off a door, easy? No. And the little, like the door handle lining up, yeah, that doesn't work either. That thing is I'm just telling you right now, hire someone, because that thing sucks.
Okay. Done and done.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this. Give me the lowdown here on DeCorian Moore. Is this bigger, or is this on the same level as Thibodeau, or is this the biggest that Oregon's ever had?
Well, he's rated in the composite. So 24/7 Sports does a composite rating, and that averages a recruit's ranking out across ESPN, Rivals, 24/7, and On3. DeCorian Moore is the highest rated commitment in the history of the program. Just barely eclipsing Kayvon Thibodeau. But when you look on the whole here, in terms of what this means, Kayvon was kind of, in his own way, a little bit of a one-off. Yes, Oregon was getting a five-star recruit here and there. Their record came in the class of 2020. They got 3 5-star kids. None of them was like a top 10 kid. They get that kind of 10 to 30 guy. Yeah. And it's a great player. You're still getting 5-star recruits. It's rare that Oregon's gotten a top 5 player in the country. Haloti Ngata stands out. Kayvon Thibodeau stands out. And now DeCorian Moore. What makes this special is what Oregon's doing across the board. They got Dorian Brew, a 5-star corner. He lives in Texas. So they beat out the Texas schools, but the big deal is he's from Ohio, and he always dreamed of playing for Ohio State, and Ohio State wanted him bad, and now they've got him in the fold. Dallas Wilson from Tampa Bay Tech is a 5-star wide receiver, again, out of Florida. They bring him in. They already have 3 composite 5-star guys. Just last week, they got Jordan Davison. Rivals rates him as a 5-star running back. And they are still firmly in the mix for 4 and 5 other 5-star recruits. So this could be one of those years where we look, and if they can hang on to everybody, that they push for the number one recruiting class in America, that's really, really rarefied air.
Yeah, because everyone always, you know, whenever we talk about this, you know, I get the, well, Oregon's been recruiting like this, and they always recruit well. But keep putting context, like, when did recruiting for Oregon start to kind of kick into high gear? Was it like end of Bilotti, beginning of Chip? And what's the difference between like what they were doing then versus what's happening over here the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think there's a general lack of understanding, frankly, of how Oregon's recruited. Oregon had 1 top 10 class ever in even through the Chip Kelly years. And that top 10 class produced DeAnthony Thomas, Marcus Mariota, I believe DeForest Buckner or Eric Armstead, maybe both.
Pretty good.
So when you get a top 10 class and it hits, look out. It can change your program. What we're seeing now is different. And it was for a while. Like, I don't know if I was overstating, but they were finishing 6th, 7th in the nation. And that was incredible. 1 year they were sitting 4th. And I remember doing Dirt and Sprague's show. And they said, well, how close are they to one? How close are they really when you're at four? And I said, the gap between four and one and two is massive. And at the time, the gap was so big that if you'd have given Oregon the number one and number two player in America, they still wouldn't have climbed up into the top two. The top two is often reserved for those programs that get 7 5-star recruits in one class. They get 6 5-star recruits in one class. Oregon has only gotten half of that as a record, three. They already have three. And again, this is a year where they really truly are pushing. And if honestly, if you set the over-under at 4.5 5-star recruits in this class right now, I think I would take the over. And that's just mind-boggling. That's Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. That's who can do that. And you look at the recruiting rankings right now for the country, when you look at On3 kind of does a project forward. You get credit for guys that are leaning your way, partial credit. You get full credit for any commitments. That's the top four right now. It's Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, Georgia. And for the last few weeks on my recruiting show, I've been saying Oregon has entered that territory, that top tier where they want your guy. They're going to make a real run if they offer, and they're potentially going to flip him. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been recruiting him. If Oregon wants him, they're like Bama, they're like Georgia, they're like Ohio State.
All right. So, you know, everyone's going to throw NIL out there and be like, oh, they're just buying kids. But can we all grow up here a little bit and act like, you know, again, fairly smart individuals? Some of those kids that were coming before NIL weren't coming for free, just like they weren't going to free to Ohio State. So this recent run here, is that how much of this is NIL? How much of this is Dan Lanning? What is the, or is it, you know, four or five different things kind of, you know, Voltroning this into coming to one big superpower? But why all of a sudden has this kind of shifted into the next gear?
I think there are two leading prongs here. I mean, one is NIL. I know that there were numbers leaked of NIL budgets, and Oregon was sitting 15th, yeah, or something like that. Those are wrong. Yeah. They're just wrong. And On3 has come out and said, these are not our numbers. This was made up. This was a fake kind of meme that got going. Oregon's in the top three.
Okay.
Oregon is a big time bully in NIL. The other piece, and you know, what separates Lanning, say, from Mario? Mario got those big time recruits, but kind of look at what ended up happening with them.
Yeah, it kind of all fizzled out.
Justin Flo kind of fizzled out. Noah Sewell was a really good player, really all the way through, but definitely was never considered a first-round pick, and Oregon fans can get mad if they want. Sorry, he never was in real life. That was nonsense stuff. Dante Manning was a 5-star recruit. He's fine. The difference here is that Oregon, via an SEC system, via a proven coaching tree that churns out NFL talent, is starting to churn out guys, not just high school kids, but also transfers. Come to Oregon and we will turn you into something special. People can say whatever they want about Christian Gonzalez. He ended up turning into a first-round pick. And you can say, well, they inherited him. He was already going to be a second-rounder. The rehabilitation of Bo Nix stock, they deserve credit for that. He became a bona fide first-round pick. In this year's draft, they set a school record for, I think, 8 players drafted. And they're still predicted to be a top 3, 4, 5 team in America across every poll. That's the difference. They have the NIL money. They have an SEC proven system that not only wins, but turns out NFL talent. And they're saying, come here, we will turn you into an NFL talent. It could be money now, but also we've got great coaching and it will be money later. And that is really resonating. Mm-hmm.
Do you still, because under Mario, and there's a lot of coaches that have this, I think Dabo has this a little bit now that he's lost coordinators. It's the idea of, yeah, you can recruit, but can you coach? Have we seen enough from this staff and Dan Lanning that this isn't just recruiting, that there's the chops to back it up? Because the one criticism, although it's only been 2 years, is they don't really have a big signature win.
Yeah, I argued that the very best thing for Oregon that could have possibly happened is they played Liberty in a Fiesta Bowl. Bo Nix, instead of opting out, maybe potentially if they played at Georgia, who just got left out, Dan Lanning can kind of argue backdoor like, hey, I got a signature win. We won a Fiesta Bowl. And it kind of erases that question, at least on paper. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think there's still something to be, you know, there's still something left to be said for, can he get Oregon over the hump? They do seem like, schematically, they are much more disciplined. And I know you go back in some of those Helfrich years, even some of the Mario years, I would watch plays and be like, I don't know what coverage they're in. I don't know what play they're running. And I'm not sure if they do all the time. You know, false starts to start a game or coming out of the half, timeouts on the first play of a drive. We're not seeing that anymore. And at the very least, you have to say this Oregon team is very well prepared. They're very buttoned up. And even when you see them running in backups, they're not racking up penalties. They're not having stupid disciplinary penalties. All those things speak to a pretty well-run machine. Does he still need to have a signature win? I think absolutely. But I also think there are some really good signs on the periphery that say Oregon's in pretty good hands from an X's and O's standpoint, from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, I want to, and I know we're up against it, but I did want to kind of get into this a bit, because you mentioned, you know, the NIL and the rumors, and, oh, it's 15, but, you know, this is top three. And I don't know how much you can get into it, but just in general, like, what is a, let's go, what is a top five NIL budget? And is it merely just money? Because now you're hearing about, like, total compensation packages. Can Oregon, through Nike, is there some, I guess, is there some unique things that Oregon can offer that other schools can't?
Sure. I mean, within the rules, I think everyone can offer whatever they have at their disposal.
Yeah.
But it certainly doesn't hurt that Oregon has a Nike connection. I just think it's way oversimplifying things to say, well, like, thank God Oregon's got the Nike connection or they'd be done. I think the budget's probably like a top three budget. Maybe you don't spend it all. Maybe you don't need to. But having the ability to access up to $20
million.
Yeah. And then when we talk about how that all plays out, this matched my reporting, so I feel very comfortable saying this. On3 did an anonymous survey with recruits asking four-star and five-star guys how much they made. The average was between $80,000 and $120,000 per year.
Sure.
So if you're the number 180 recruit in the country, you're probably going to get something like a four-year deal for $100,000 per.
Okay.
So you're probably clearing $400,000. If you're a left tackle and you're the number 15 player in the country, you're probably getting $1 to $1.3 million. If you're an elite quarterback, we've already seen these numbers leak, and I got called a liar when I said there are some, I don't think they're right, but there are some that are up to 10-figure deals where guys are getting $10 million, $11 million, $12 million. And then we saw Jane Rashada's deal come out. That's not a lump sum. It's like $3 million over 4 years. Those are starting to go away. But we are still seeing big-time recruits, five-star recruits, are getting deals over $1 million per year to end up at big-time schools.
Yeah. And then is there, you know, like the, you know, you see it in the recruiting and they do the throne room and the shoes and all that. Is there still like a kind of a sexy factor to that? Yes, money talks, but I'm assuming that when you're dealing with a lot of these schools, you were all in the same kind of category with the budget. So is it you have the money to be on par with those? And then is the sizzle of the brand, is that what's pushing these kids over the top?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just it, Suk. I think that hits the nail on the head. You have to have a certain kind of amount to play with to make the top four. And then I do think it does come down to relationship. People are like, relationships don't matter at all. Yeah, they do. Because the difference between Oregon and Texas may be pretty small in terms of NIL. But, you know, DeCorian Moore was interviewed and asked what the difference was for him. And he said he wanted to get away and blaze his own path. And he wanted to go to a coaching staff that everybody he met, he trusted. And he said he ended up feeling like he really trusted Oregon. I think Oregon staff is generally and across the board pretty likable. They're pretty likable dudes. In my interactions with them, they've been really likable dudes, like genuine just people, good dudes, guys you want to have a beer with. I think that helps. Yes, there's the flash. Yes, there's the Marcus Mariota Heisman. Yes, they can pitch the NFL, you know, draft picks in recent years. I think it's all of those things. So Oregon has the money to say we can compete with anybody on that side. And right now they're building the type of infrastructure that they say, and we can win with anybody. And you throw all of that together, and it makes a recipe for a pretty special group. And that's why Oregon's right now in the discussion for having the number one class in America.
You think this is sustainable? You think this is a team that in, let's go, 5 years can win a national championship?
At the rate they're going, yes. The big caveat, as we've seen with Oregon for now multiple, you know, iterations of coaching tenures, can they keep Dan Lanning? I do believe Dan Lanning has enough clout that if they lose an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, he can replace them pretty well without major issues. Can they keep Dan Lanning? By all accounts, it looks like he does want to stay, that he really likes Oregon, that not having to fight through an SEC schedule and fight through SEC recruiting for the West Coast when USC and Washington just aren't even close to the same level in recruiting as Florida, Florida State, Miami, you know, LSU, Georgia, all the schools that are down there. He's pretty comfortable at Oregon in terms of, you know, he can really kind of bump his elbows out and I've got room here to work. I kind of got the West Coast to myself as the big bad bully. As long as he stays, yeah, I think Oregon can potentially win a national title. I do not think it's crazy to think in the next 5 years, anything other than a national title, certainly in Eugene, would be a disappointment.
He is the director of recruiting for Sportsbook Live. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Nemec, and you can listen to him right here Thursdays after this very program on recruiting with Andrew Nemec. And despite the man bun and the hey dudes or Crocs, I think no one does it better. And I really do respect the work you do and also the football mind. Always enjoy having the conversation with you, my friend.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, there you go. A lot to chew on there. When we come back, I know we went way long there, but I really do. I think Nemec is as tied in to this as you can be.
Very comprehensive. And, he knows the staffs. He knows the players.
Yes.
He has a really good balance of both sides.
Yes, he does. And I think he has a very good football mind. So when we come back, I think there's a lot to chew on there. So we'll kind of pick at that bone a little bit before we move into the 4 o'clock hour and we switch gears, maybe talk a little NFL or some Wimbledon or just a potpourri. We can make fun of Rob's COVID again. You got primetime here on a post-4th of July. 1080 The Fan. I went a little long there, but I thought it was worthwhile. Nemec did a really nice job of kind of outlining what exactly is going on down in Eugene on the recruiting trail. And my thing, and this is why I wanted to ask him about kind of in-depth with the NIL, because I really think it's become a bit of a lazy narrative. And look, I'm no duck honk. I have no allegiance, right? I try to be as neutral as possible. At times, I find duck fan to be beyond insufferable.
Sure.
But I'm also not ignorant, and I'm not burying my head in the sand. And I think the narrative of, well, they just overpay for kids.
They've got something else cooking there besides just handing out cash.
Well, because this is this is why I asked him that at the end. Look, Oregon's not offering more money than Ohio State. They're not offering more money than Alabama. He says it's a top three NIL budget. So you're in with the big boys. But I'm guessing that there's not a huge difference in NIL budget between Texas, LSU, Ohio State.
So that's the thing. You have to be offering something different because you got to imagine the money is the same or close to it.
Yes. And maybe you can offer a kid a few more bucks. But if that was the case, then Texas A&M would be the best team in the country.
For sure.
Right? So there's something else going on. So yes, obviously, and that's what he said, NIL has opened the door. You can flex those muscles. But again, I still go back to, I'm not trying to throw any shade, but we know that kids that came here before NIL got money.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, it's the worst kept secret in the world. It's so weird when you talk about Eugene, because there was this idea that, you know, we all know that no one would for any period of time believe that the SEC wasn't paying kids. Like, it's this foregone conclusion. And yet,
Big 12 too.
And yet when it came to Oregon, there was always this, well, I don't know. Really?
Like, if they're keeping up with the Joneses, there's a degree of that has to be going on.
So Kayvon Thibodeau was the number one player in the country, and so at the SEC was offering that kid all this money, but he turned it down to come to Oregon.
And DeAnthony Thomas flipped from USC as a local kid at the very last minute out of nowhere.
Yeah, he just was like, I'm going to go to Oregon.
I mean, both those things worked out great for
exactly.
Oregon. But have a real conversation.
But yes, the NIL is there, and you're competitive, and it sounds like you know, you're at least able to compete with anyone, let alone maybe even outspend a few people, but there has to be something else going on. And what they're doing down there is building what appears to be a damn juggernaut. It kind of blows my mind, having done this for 20 years now and kind of watched. And by the way, when I was getting recruited by Oregon, they were just kind of at the ascent. They were coming off that Rose Bowl, the first one there, and they had just built the indoor practice facility. And it was like, they were trying. I was like, right, me and Joey are right around that same time. So yeah. It was kind of the ascension of the Oregon program. And it's been weird to watch it as an outsider. It's been weird to watch it as someone that covers them. And it just kind of feels like there's a these things take time.
So
and this isn't a 1 or 2 year thing. It feels like this is a 20 plus year kind of wave that's starting to really become a bit of a tsunami now.
So I worked in the Oregon football department from 2004 to 2007, and I can tell you they were a regional recruiting program. They owned the West Coast. Yeah. They were in LA's backyard, but if they were getting someone national, it was because one position coach was putting in the work to go get that guy for his unit, and they were really only taking shots and sending mail to the top 100 dudes. They thought, oh, that kid's in the Atlanta area, no shot. That kid's in Tennessee, no shot. That kid's in Ohio, no shot. They didn't even try as recently as like 2006.
Yeah.
And now, not only are they trying, they're winning battles in other people's region. It's a big deal.
Yeah, someone Vancouver Ford text line, Michigan averages recruiting classes in like 11 or 12. But with a good coach, a top four recruiting class definitely should have championship expectations.
100% yes. Agree.
And that's what I'm saying is like Oregon has been a solid recruiter. They've been right on that anywhere from 10 to 12. But you're now entering the conversation of Ohio State and Alabama and top three, possibly top one recruiting classes. And when you do that, the expectations shift. Oregon has been a very good school and you've played for two national titles, but I've never really felt like Oregon's the best team in the country because of talent. Yes, you've been some very good teams.
But, and you've gotten there a few times.
And you've gotten there a few times and you've had some special players, but you know, you've always come up short. And you can say all you want about, you know, coaching and team building and chemistry and all that. But at the end of the day, the teams that win national titles are the teams that recruit like this. Doesn't mean that you will, because you're putting together recruiting classes like this, but your odds of actually winning one when you do this, this is where those teams come from. And it's going to be interesting to see. I still think now that you got to go out and the expectations now have shifted. And the expectations of Oregon have been high for 15, 20 years.
This is much different.
I think this is different. I absolutely think this is different.
Again, the text line asks, building a juggernaut, what exactly have they won? We can see nothing. They haven't done it yet.
Totally
but
agree.
But you can't get there without the horses and without the roster, the personnel, and that's what they're building.
I mean, that's like saying the Boston Celtics this year. It's like, oh, they hadn't won anything. No, they hadn't.
And then they ran through everybody, and they did.
And then they did. You could have said that about like a lot of teams that were kind of on the come up like this. You know, what have you won? Well, nothing until you do.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Oregon has won, Jack. I'm not saying that they will. And I think it's very fair to point out that so far their biggest win is probably the University of Utah in 2 years.
Yeah.
But when you start stacking together classes like this and you start stacking together JET charts that look like this, we know what the blueprint to win those games looks like, and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the skill position guys, it's the guys up front. This is starting to look different than past Oregon teams. Now you have to go out on the field. And again, I think it's fair to not settle for 10-win seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think the expectations fairly have shifted, and they should be held to a higher standard. And this coaching staff should be expected to get them over the hump and not just, oh, it's a good team that won 10 or 11 games.
No, you should be in the playoff every year. You should probably win a game or two or an entire playoff championship one of these years.
Yes.
But that's the new standard.
All right. When we come back, a little summer league without Scoot. We'll talk about it. Primetime here on The Fan. Went a little long there, but I thought it was worthwhile. Nemec did a really nice job of kind of outlining what exactly is going on down in Eugene on the recruiting trail. And my thing, and this is why I wanted to ask him about kind of in depth with the NIL, because I really think it's become a bit of a lazy narrative. And look, I'm no duck honk. I have no allegiance, right? I try to be as neutral as possible. At times, I find Duck fan to be beyond insufferable.
Sure.
But I'm also not ignorant, and I'm not burying my head in the sand. And I think the narrative of, well, they just overpay for kids.
They've got something else cooking there besides just handing out cash.
Well, because this is this is why I asked him that at the end. Look, Oregon's not offering more money than Ohio State. They're not offering more money than Alabama. He says it's a top three NIL budget. So you're in with the big boys. But I'm guessing that there's not a huge difference in NIL budget between Texas, LSU, Ohio State.
So that's the thing. You have to be offering something different because,
yes,
because you got to imagine the money is the same or close to it.
Yes. And maybe you can offer a kid a few more bucks. But if that was the case, then Texas A&M would be the best team in the country.
For sure.
Right? So there's something else going on. So yes, obviously, and that's what he said, NIL has opened the door. You can flex those muscles. But again, I still go back to, I'm not trying to throw any shade, but we know that kids that came here before NIL got money.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, it's the worst kept secret in the world. It's so weird when you talk about Eugene, because there was this idea that, you know, we all know that no one would for any period of time believe that the SEC wasn't paying kids. Like, it's this foregone conclusion. And yet,
Big 12 too.
And yet when it came to Oregon, there was always this, I don't know. Really? Like,
if they're keeping up with the Joneses, there's a degree of that has to be going on.
So Kayvon Thibodeau was the number one player in the country, and so at the SEC was offering that kid all this money, but he turned it down to come to Oregon.
And DeAnthony Thomas flipped from USC as a local kid at the very last minute out of nowhere.
Yeah, he just was like, I'm going to go to Oregon.
I mean, both those things worked out great for
exactly.
Oregon. But have a real conversation.
But yes, the NIL is there, and you're competitive, and it sounds like, and you know, you're at least able to compete with anyone, let alone maybe even outspend a few people. But there has to be something else going on. And what they're doing down there is building what appears to be a damn juggernaut. It kind of blows my mind. Having done this for 20 years now and kind of watched, and by the way, when I was getting recruited by Oregon, they were just kind of at the ascent. They were coming off that Rose Bowl, the first one there, and they had just built the indoor practice facility. And it was like, they were trying. I was like, right, me and Joey are right around that same time. So yeah. It was kind of the ascension of the Oregon program. And it's been weird to watch it as an outsider. It's been weird to watch it as someone that covers them. And it just kind of feels like these things take time.
So
and this isn't a 1 or 2 year thing. It feels like this is a 20 plus year kind of wave that's starting to really become a bit of a tsunami now.
So I worked in the Oregon football department from 2004 to 2007, and I can tell you they were a regional recruiting program. They owned the West Coast. Yeah. They were in LA's backyard, but if they were getting someone national, it was because one position coach was putting in the work to go get that guy for his unit, and they were really only taking shots and sending mail to the top 100 dudes. They thought, oh, that kid's in the Atlanta area, no shot. That kid's in Tennessee, no shot. That kid's in Ohio, no shot. They didn't even try as recently as like 2007. Six.
Yeah.
And now, not only are they trying, they're winning battles in other people's region. It's a big deal.
Yeah, someone, Vancouver 4 text line, Michigan averages recruiting classes in like 11 or 12. But with a good coach, a top 4 recruiting class definitely should have championship expectations.
100% yes. Agree.
And that's what I'm saying is like Oregon has been a solid recruiter. They've been right on that anywhere from 10 to 12. But you're now entering the conversation of Ohio State and Alabama and top 3, possibly top 1 recruiting classes. And when you do that, the expectations shift. Oregon has been a very good school and you've played for 2 national titles, but I've never really felt like Oregon's the best team in the country because of talent. Yes, you've been some very good teams.
And you've gotten there a few times.
And you've gotten there a few times and you've had some special players, but you know, you've always come up short. And you can say all you want about, you know, coaching and team building and chemistry and all that. But at the end of the day, the teams that win national titles are the teams that recruit like this. Doesn't mean that you will, because you're putting together recruiting classes like this, but your odds of actually winning one when you do this, this is where those teams come from. And it's going to be interesting to see. I still think now that you got to go out and the expectations now have shifted. And the expectations of Oregon have been high for 15, 20 years.
This is much different.
I think this is different. I absolutely think this is different.
Again, the text line asks, building a juggernaut, what exactly have they won? We can see nothing.
Nothing.
They haven't done it yet.
Totally
but
agree.
But you can't get there without the horses and without the roster, the personnel, and that's what they're building.
I mean, that's like saying the Boston Celtics this year. It's like, oh, they hadn't won anything. No, they hadn't.
And then they ran through everybody, and they did.
And then they did. You could have said that about like a lot of teams that were kind of on the come up like this. You know, what have you won? Well, nothing until you do.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Oregon has won, Jack. I'm not saying that they will. And I think it's very fair to point out that so far their biggest win is probably the University of Utah in 2 years.
Yeah.
But when you start stacking together classes like this and you start stacking together JET charts that look like this, we know what the blueprint to win those games looks like, and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the skill position guys, it's the guys up front. This is starting to look different than past Oregon teams. Now you have to go out on the field. And again, I think it's fair to not settle for 10-win seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think the expectations fairly have shifted, and they should be held to a higher standard. And this coaching staff should be expected to get them over the hump and not just, oh, it's a good team that won 10 or 11 games.
No, you should be in the playoff every year. You should probably win a game or two or an entire playoff championship one of these years. Yes. But that's the new standard.
All right. When we come back, a little summer league without Scoot. We'll talk about it. Primetime here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.